Get Pucked.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito, Matt, and Dave with you. Episode 51 coming at you. Maybe not live, but live for us right now. Again, let's get it out of the way. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe. That would be super helpful. It'd be great for us. We appreciate it. And we noticed there was a big jump from our last episode. So everybody who's recently signed up, thank you so much. Everybody who's been sticking around for a while, thank you for continuing checking in and listening to what three fools have to say about the Montreal Canadiens. So on that happy note, let's get into it. So again, the big topic, the thing that everybody's talking about, right? And I know we brought it up last episode, but I'm going to try to change where we're going with it. So the whole Pierre-Luc Dubois thing, you know, is he coming? Elliot Friedman came out and said, we all know 95% he's going to Montreal, right? I don't know. Let's grain of salt with everything. Let's just put it into perspective. It doesn't matter if it's PLD or if it's somebody else. When it comes to getting a player of that kind of caliber, you're going to have to give to get. I think we can all agree with this. You got to give to get. It depends the package. It depends what you're going to put in there. And this is where I'm going with my question, boys. Mm-hmm. We know there's going to be prospects involved. We know there's probably going to be roster players involved. And so, and roster players from veterans right down to the rookie guys that are made the team, evidently, and are there. So I want to know this. Who cannot be moved under any circumstances, in your opinions? Small caveat. I don't want an infinite list. You get three prospects that I'm going to allow you in this scenario to freeze and reserve. They're never to be traded, as well as three players that are currently on the team. Whoa. Aside from the obvious, the Suzuki's and Caulfields that clearly will never go anywhere. Three other guys who are on the rosters, and that includes the likes of the Caden Goolies, the Jordan Harrises, the Harvey Pinards, if you will, whatever. So starting with Vito this time around, give me your 3-3. Cannot be moved. Any circumstance.
All right. So right off the bat, Slafkovský. Yeah, I'm not moving him. So I'm going to go with the players that are currently on the Habs roster. Not that they're going to start in Laval next year or any of that. The ones that are on the roster right now.
You got it. Slav. Yep.
Slav. Caden Gooley, 100%. He ain't getting moved. He ain't getting. He's our guy. He's staying there. That's two. Yep. My God, the third one is a bit as a prospect.
Well, rookie or like you know what I mean. Just not the evident ones that obviously are not ever going to be moved. Is my point, right? You can say okay. Anderson if you want. You could say Anderson, for example.
If you're big
on the power horse.
No. If we're sticking to the concept of the prospects, because you said Suzuki's aside, Caulfield, then I'm gonna go with somebody that Dave said would be a stud from day one, and go. I don't want to move Arbor Jack Eye.
Wow,
Jack Eye.
I appreciate that.
Okay, Jordan Harris free. Barry free.
Not that he's free. What I think about
free to be moved is my point.
You want to know why I have this feeling about Jack Eye? While he's not going to probably be up on the depth chart like Barron will and all that, it's because Jack Eye for me is a hybrid of the old school NHL and new school NHL, right? So he brings an element that I just appreciate nowadays, given that there's not much of it. Now, will some people call me crazy? Probably. A lot of fan favorites are probably going to say, Vito, you did a good job there. But with that being said, I'm going to say Jack Eye just because, you know, when they faced Boston and Boston was starting to throw their weight around and being a little tenacious or annoying on the ice, I don't think they would have done that with Jack Eye there. You know, I think they would have taken a step back. Marshall would have been Marshall. He would have just done what he was going to do. But I don't think they would have taken their liberties on Jake Evans.
You're entitled. So you don't mind that guys like for example Harrison Barron are available over a Jack Eye. I'm sure
just because they're available doesn't mean that. Just because they're available doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get traded.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying in terms of selection process, it would seem that you put Slav Gooley and Jack Eye above the other guys that we're talking about here. Otherwise, you would have reserved them. Fair. I'm not even gonna make fun. I'm not saying nothing. There is no right or wrong. You got your three. Now I'll go to Dave just to mix it up. Dave, who are your three from the roster since he started roster?
So I want to make it clear that I don't believe in untouchables. I think that if you're an NHL general manager, you absolutely have to answer every single call, and anybody could be traded if you get the right deal.
Just now, play the game, Dave.
If we're talking, I'm just getting started. Okay. All right. If we're talking about a Dubois deal, I think you could do my feelings on a Dubois deal. I think you could get him for a lot less than so. Obviously, Gouley's on there, number one. Absolutely, Slafkovský is on there, number two. And if you're, if I'm looking on this roster, who would be number three? It would probably be Jordan Harris, just because for the upside and from what we've seen so far from him, I would put Jordan Harris at number three. I think if you wanted to get Dubois, a deal would be done without any of those three guys even being spoken about, to be honest. And I think you hang up on. You hang up on the Jets GM if he even mentions Caden Gooley for Pierre-Luc Dubois. No, thank you.
I 100% agree. 100%.
100%. So, but if we're talking on...
Caden Gooley's a non-starter. Caden Gooley's a non-starter.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, those guys would be my untouchables. But again, nobody's untouchable. It depends on what the get is and what's coming back. I think that you have to...
And it's a fictitious trade. To your point, yes, 100%. Anything is plausible. If Connor McDavid is being traded to suddenly the team, what are you talking about? Untouchables? Take the whole thing. Obviously.
No, but it's not obvious, because remember when Jack Eichel was being moved about and everyone's like, no, we're not. I'm not untouchable. Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, untouchables. They were listing other players too as untouchables on Twitter. So, people were going crazy on the untouchables for Jack Eichel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's fair.
Except there were health concerns, but I think.
Yeah. No. I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean, we're talking about Eichel, and I think that's fair. A lot of people came out of the woodwork saying there is absolutely players on this team you don't move for Jack Eichel. I feel like that has a lot more to do with maybe character traits, and like perhaps he didn't quite live up to necessarily what he was supposed to be, granted injuries and what have you and all the stuff and everything that happened with him. But like in essence, we're talking a fictitious trade. Yes, it's obviously kind of all snowballing because of Pierre-Luc Dubois and what would be included in packages. And this has been, on the rage everywhere you go. That's what people are talking about, putting package deals together for this. I'm just curious in a sense, just like it's my way of finding out who are you guys highest on when we talk about the younger guys on the team. And I mean, mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. Slaf and Gouley, 1-2, 2-1, it doesn't matter. Those guys for sure, they're non-starters for me, realistically, unless if you absolutely blow me away with something insane. The Jack Eichel thing I think was interesting. I don't know if I put him in my three. I would love to keep him, but clearly if he was the piece that made a deal kind of go over the edge there to give me what I really want, I would probably
Hold on. But to be they have no leverage. So they have no leverage. Well,
let's not get wrapped up in the Pierre-Luc Dubois thing, because again, there's a lot more going on there than what we're talking. I'm just saying in general, guys that for the most part, you wouldn't want to part with. The Jordan Harris pick is really good. He's right there. I really like the upside with Barron. I do. I see it. I really always come back to, I believe it's Sidney Crosby's comments when he was traded to Montreal and how high he was on him. And obviously,
but have you seen that of him?
I haven't. But I still think he's very young. I think that there's still a lot of room to improve. And I think the improvement I've seen of his game since he got here has made me optimistic about where he can be progressing, especially with more time under Martin St. Louis in the NHL level without being concerned of being sent down if you misplay something or what have you, right? I think there's a lot to be said there. Would it be my guy? I'm not sure. Probably. I mean, I got a lot of love for RHP, especially what he's been doing these days. You can't. I don't know. Personally, I can't do it. I mean, you can say the same thing with about the other guys that have been coming up and filling in Yolonen as well. I was always really high on him. I like him quite a bit. But no, I'm going to go with Justin Barron personally as my third guy.
Yeah, you can't have RHB as an untouchable. Unfortunately, as much as I love Arbor Jack, you can't have him either as an untouchable.
Yeah.
You can't have your bottom guys as untouchables, because then you're never. That's falling in love.
Yeah. No, but okay. Like I feel like I gotta defend. I gotta defend the Arbor Jack one a little bit.
You don't have to defend anything.
Think a bit long term, is that the day that the Montreal Canadiens are able to get to the Stanley Cup, to the playoffs a little more consistently, I just think that Arbor Jacki is the kind of player that you're going to want, even on your fifth or sixth or if there's an injury fourth defenseman. He's going to clear the front of the net. He's going to be a physical presence. He's going to make sure that players are not, you know, having their way with the Montreal Canadiens, which let's be honest now. Right now, the Montreal Canadiens are still a smaller team. When you look at the prospects coming up, they're on the smaller side. So if Montreal is going to move forward with smallish players and not add big players, you're going to need people like players like Arber Jacki even more so. So that's why I'm saying I wouldn't just say no to Arber Jacki. And when you look at Gouley, his size, and Arber Jacki there, and you're saying, okay, that's the depth of the top six, let's say, I like it. I like the size. I like the physicality that it could present come playoff time, even during the regular season. So that's why I'm saying that.
I feel like he's defending his own pick to like himself. We're not saying it's bad. Maybe. I'm just like,
maybe I'm trying to convince myself.
He's good. He's good to have. His presence is good.
He's also arguably wearing.
Go ahead.
What am I wearing?
Sorry, he's also arguably wearing a Super Vito shirt. Oh, okay. I didn't see the Mario. I just saw Super when it ended with an O. Wasn't sure if it was a Super Vito shirt.
His own shirt. Super Vito shirt.
I'd buy it.
Listen. We're going to have to start selling some stuff, get Super Vito on there. That said, I want to move into the prospect pool now because there is a whole bunch of them there and I'm allowing you three. You're ready. You got it? Fire. Who are your three?
Lane Hudson.
I think that's very fair. Yeah.
Untouchable. Yeah. I'm not moving Joshua Roy. Not happening. Dead.
Yep.
And I'm going to go... That there's two players that I really like, but I'm gonna go with Philip Nesar. I just think his skill, first round pick, and I just think the whole Slovak connection with Slavkovsky down the road could pay some dividends there. And so, I just think the chemistry's there, and he's a good fit. I have an honorable mention, but I'm not gonna say it in case Dave says it.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll hold off until I hear what Dave says, and if he doesn't mention it, then I'll see who it is.
Fair. I mean, Hutchin, Kua, Nesar. Okay.
Yeah, so me, it's going to be Logan Mailloux, definitely, Lane Hudson. And then after that, I mean, I think it would be Machar as well. But, I mean, it's just tough. It's tough to go with anybody other than that, really. I mean, you could talk about Owen Beck. But, I mean, to me, they're not untouchable.
Sean Farrell love?
I mean,
No Enstrom love?
You know. Meh. No, untouchable. We're talking about untouchables here, guys.
I mean, essentially, you can rephrase the question: who's your top three prospects? I mean, that's kind of where we're going, right? Like that's.
But that's not what the question is. The question is: who would be an untouchable in the deal? Who do you, when you see a big time deal moving, who would be you'd be disappointed to see move the other way, right?
Well, actually,
honestly, hold on a second. Two out of the three guys I mentioned, I'd be disappointed. It's Lane Hudson,
Dave,
and Joshua Roy. Like, I would be disappointed.
And rightfully so, depending, of course, what the return is. But I think Dave brings forward an interesting point I like for him to expand on. What makes the question different? If I say, who are your three prospects that you wouldn't trade realistically under any circumstance, barring some absolute insanity deal, and who are your top three prospects on the team, that list is different to you?
It could be different. It could
is
be
that
different.
List different?
For me right now, no. But okay. In terms, but there's definitely a difference. There's a difference in who could, because there's some people who you think, hey, we're going to take a gamble on. So he's a top prospect. Slavkovsky, for example, number one, it's a guy who you're willing to take a gamble on. You're willing to bet you, but is he your top prospect? I don't know if he is, just because where you selected him, he'd be involved in your top prospect, but you'd be the most disappointed to see him go over somebody else. You know what I mean? Like it depends on the situation, and it also depends on their ceiling and what they can go and how much of a gamble you're taking. You can have three stud prospects, but maybe there's a fourth that's really going to be a steady guy going forward, who's going to be, you know, an everyday NHLer that I absolutely want him on this team.
And a player who reminds me of what you just explained, and I think the Montreal Canadiens see him that way too, is Owen Beck. He's a guy that I think will probably slot in on the third line consistently, could move up to the second, but he's kind of got that tool set and that kind of game that coaches love. And I just think that he's a player that he's going to cause no issues in the room. They're going to love him. They're going to depend on him. And he might be a guy that they might choose over some of the names we mentioned. And we'd be like, why? But to the administration and to the coaching staff, they're just going to be like, this is a coachable player that we could keep that could just do everything that we need him to do on the ice without an issue. And that's the honorable mention I was really thinking of.
I mean, I think to your point there, both you guys, there is a level of subjectivity to the list. To a degree, depends how you gauge prospects and their ceilings and skill sets. I mean, I think I'm more inclined to think that most people would line up the three top prospects in their mind with the three prospects they would choose to not move. I think that would probably be a more often than not, like, direct correlation. You make a good point, Dave. There is probable cause there for some people to maybe be like, I think the ceiling on this guy is better, but I know this guy and what he's going to bring me, and I want to make sure I have that because the ceiling might not ever be met. That's fair. I find it curious. I mean, it's just on the night of all nights that Sean Farrell is having his first game, you guys don't have him on your list at all. I find that interesting. Listen, not saying you're wrong.
No, Sean Farrell's highly skilled. I think he's going to he has the potential to really be a good, productive player at the NHL level. The way I see it is you'd have to fit him in your top six, and right now the Montreal Canadiens have some players on the shorter side already in your top six, and that's what concerns me.
Always goes back to height, huh?
Well, I mean, there wouldn't be a height problem or a height debate or a height question if we didn't have so many of them in the top six. So you got to balance things out a little bit. And while some people might criticize and might write comments and whatnot, at the end of the day, you got to still factor them in.
But there is something to be said about the height thing, because it's been proven, and even smaller players, when it comes to when it matters most in the playoffs, have been statistically not as good as big players. Like, no matter how, like, even Brendan Gallagher, look at his playoff record. It's not that great in terms of stats, in terms of this. And there's countless guys like that throughout the league that are like that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not great players, and they won't be, but there's something to be said about building your team around small guys.
You need a perfect balance. Yes. You need a balance. You can't have a team entirely of guys that are barely making it 6 feet tall without question. At the same time, too, you can also use the sort of approach where there are guys that get you there, and then there are guys sort of that step up when you're there. And so if the little guys have a lot more success during the season and they get you there, and then you can have a secondary unit, not in skill, but just a well-rounded team of bigger guys that can take the physicality of the playoffs and make room for your little guys, for example, and they're on the team as well. I mean, that's how you build a Stanley Cup caliber team. I think we're all in agreement. You need a bit of grit. You need a bit of skill. You need a bit of a dynamic sort of play action. You need your primary goal scorers. You know, guys that are defensive liabilities, but they just score goals, right? You build around that. You counterbalance. So I think there's time and place. Not to get too off tangent with the whole height thing, but I think your guys' picks make a lot of sense. I don't think we're gonna have too many people that are gonna disagree with you, but of course. It was so much fun to read the comments from last episode. Please, I would love to hear. I think we would all love to hear and read anybody's comments about who they would consider, quote unquote, because I don't want to offend Dave, untouchables in trades, not necessarily for Pierre-Luc Dubois, but if you want to use that as a sort of like a barometer to put a trade in your mind and like, who would I not want to go there? By all means, go ahead and use it. We'd be happy to read those.
We definitely have a subscriber who I had a nice conversation with, who's very into Adam Engstrom. So now I'm pretty sure that's the comment we'd get again.
So on that topic too, because Engstrom is talked about, but perhaps not as often as some of the other prospects, I am curious, in your guys' opinion, who's a prospect that you're really high on that doesn't get a lot of love? That isn't necessarily talked about as often as the Lane Hudsons of the world. Like, who's the guy? Like, Joshua Hua is talked about a lot, but I liked that. Maybe that's your guy. I don't want to put a name in your mouth and let you say who it is. But I thought if you would have told me Joshua Hua, I would have been like, oh, okay, you know what? Cool. I can see it. He has the pedigree. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Spoken about it. If you want to talk more about under the radar.
I'm not saying, okay. I mean, let's not talk absolute obscurity, but give me a guy who isn't really always being talked about. The Sean Farrells, the Lane Hut. Come again?
Riley Kidney.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say him. I've paid attention to him, and he's got the skill, he's got the point production. Yes, albeit it's in the queue, and in the queue these days, it's, you know, not a lot of people put a lot of hype on it. But he is, for the last two seasons, has been over a point a game. He's been very productive. He does have to add a bit more weight because he's a bit on the thinner side at 6 feet tall. But other than that, I just like his game, and I think he's a guy that could provide some good secondary scoring in the future for the Montreal Canadiens if he makes it to the NHL, but I do believe so.
Right on, man. Right on.
Interesting. I mean, to me, Riley Keane is a good answer. To me, I mean, it's tough because I don't, it's tough to.
You're back.
Okay. All right. To me, like, I mean, it's tough to you know, the guy, the fan of Adam Engstrom, for example, like, Adam Engstrom plays for Rogel BK Jr. How many games has he seen him play on that team? You know what I mean? Like, how can you be high on a prospect that you've never really seen?
We don't know how often he watches. I don't know where this guy's from. Maybe he's from that town. I don't know.
Maybe he knows a lot more than we do. But for me personally, like, it's hard to touch on these prospects. Because I'm like you. I read what I see on Twitter. I read the scouting report when they were drafted. You see an update come up every so often, and that's it. To me, the one prospect, and you mentioned it, was Joshua Roy. The guy has 100 points in the queue, or 99 points in the queue this year. He's a guy who's, you know, if everyone said he was drafted a year later, he would have been drafted in the first round. He's an interesting guy. Or Gatchinou, he's a guy for me that's interesting.
All right. All right, so we got Kidney and Hua, and I think those are excellent picks, by the way. Not that you need my approval for your picks, but I think those are really good ones.
When was the last time the Montreal Canadiens had this many names that we could talk about? That's the exciting part. Well, listen, I mean, we've had seasons, we've had years where people overhyped them, and, you know, we had the
These guys aren't overhyped. Not to go back to last episode.
Not to go back to the last episode, but just to say, like, there's a lot of players that the Montreal Canadiens have drafted in the last few years, and you got to give credit to the previous administration who actually drafted a lot of these guys. And you got to say it's exciting to be able to talk about other players other than the main ones and be like, no, there's something there with these guys. There's some diamonds in the rough that are there, and it's fun, man.
The future is bright. This is a lot of fun, but it does also have to remind us that it is the future. These guys are coming, but they're not here now. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to pivot.
Like Lane Hudson. Well, we're very excited about it, but he ain't playing next year.
Yeah, he's not playing next year. And to that point, I'd like to talk about next year. Pull this up because I think we might be on the same page with a lot of this, but maybe we're completely going to get into a huge argument about certain things. So what we're pulling up here, for those that are listening, is we're using cap-friendly, these awesome guys. And we're using their armchair to kind of look at the team, and we're going to move some players around. So what I'm looking to do here is interactively with you gentlemen, construct the opening night roster for the Habs. Okay? We're going to make some assumptions, but there are certain things that unless if you can really make an argument for it, I can't see it happening. And I'll get to one example of that in a moment. But down here, I want to start with defense because I think it's a little bit easier. If we talk Joel Edmondson, he's here, he's now, he's signed. But can we agree it's very likely he's going to get moved before the next season starts?
Before
opening night drop of the puck, right? It could be at the trade deadline. It could be in the offseason, free agency, whatever. Can we kind of play with the assumption that he's going to get moved? I don't care for what necessarily at this moment, just to kind of get his slot out there. Or are you going to make an argument that he stays and we can't do that? You can't see him.
He could definitely be moved. I think it's more likely he'll be moved at the deadline more than before the puck drops for game one.
The deadline of next season, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, since we're three, it's wonderful. Vito, do you think he's moved before the season starts?
Yes.
Okay, so do I. Yes. So he's gone. Okay.
Wow.
So that's how we're gonna do this.
I don't think they'll get the. No, I honestly don't think that they're gonna get the full return like they would at trade deadline. But they're gonna get a good enough return for a team that'll have him for the full season, And at the same time, Montreal is just going to look to open up a spot for another young kid.
Okay. So now we're looking at Matheson, I think, has emerged as the number one defenseman on the team right this second. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? So he's up there in your number one slot on left, right?
I would say that.
Savard. I don't see Savard moving before the opening game of next season. Do you?
He'll start with the Habs, but it'll probably be moved at the trade deadline. He'll have one more season left, and it'll be similar to a Joel Edmondson, where all the hype was around him. I don't know if he'd bring the same return that was rumored for Edmondson to bring to the Montreal Canadiens before he got hurt. But I'll say Savard stays with the Habs.
Okay, he stays. Let's not make it like a whole monologue every time we talk about a player. He stays. Okay, Dave.
All right. Yeah, he stays.
Okay, so there's your 1-2, right? Your first pairing is Matheson and Savard, Gouley and Barron. Do we like that? I think so.
Yes.
That works for me.
Now let's get funky. All right. So now you're bottom two, right? You got Harris, who's realistically, I mean, we could put Jack out here just for the sake of just making it a little bit more even. So Harris and Kovacevic are currently there. Mm-hmm. Weidman is still signed, and you got Jack Eye. Now we know Vito likes Jack Eye. So I ask you this, who is coming out for Jack Eye, Vito?
Harris will be moved to the right, and Kovacevic and Jack Eye will share games for now.
And what does Mr. Weidman do? Just go
the
eat
same,
hot dogs.
The same thing he's been doing all this season. Comes into a game here and there when there's injuries, and that's it. And sometimes giving rest to some players.
So they
other than that, he's just a good room guy.
And good room that's guy. It. So you got two defensemen that you're rocking. You're rocking eight defensemen.
We did it this season.
I understand. Yeah. You're prepared to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, agreement or disagreement?
I mean, the thing is, they're in a very difficult position here because they need some slots and they don't have players. I mean, and we're going on the assumption that Joel Edmondson's been moved already, which...
Yes, we are. Yes.
And it's very difficult to slot all these guys in, which keys in the convenient injury to start the season factor for me on a few of these guys. I think that, you know, Chris Weidman can mysteriously come up with something at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's tough, man, because you need veteran presence, right? And I know you have Matheson and Savard, but if you're going on the assumption that Savard is going to be dealt and that Edmondson's going to be dealt, and now you're going to have Mike Matheson as your only veteran on this defensive thing, that's a tough go, man. That's a tough go. Unless
no more rookies.
I get it. I get it. But I mean, like, to have six guys grow or five guys grow.
Like, Dave, sorry to cut you off, man. Sorry to cut you off, but you said it a few episodes ago. You could always go and get veterans. If they start to see that Montreal Canadiens are struggling because, you know, all of a sudden there's not enough veterans on the back end, they'll just go and acquire another veteran.
No, I understand that.
And let's bear in mind, let's come down here. So we're also going to make sure that we all agree Mayu doesn't make the jump. Hudson's not coming, right? Norlander is not making the jump. Baudet, who they picked up right later on, not coming up. Like we're all agreeing that this doesn't move because that would even cause any like even more headaches. So for sure.
Yeah. The only thing I could see is Logan Mailloux coming up at camp or something and putting up, you know, an amazing performance and forcing their hand for something. And in that case, then you'll see some deals being made, I think, to free up some room for him. But
I still think they'll give him Laval time.
Yeah, probably, just because they can and they have no room. Okay, so let's say that we're in agreement with this. This is a little ugh for my liking.
Yeah, me too.
Extra defensemen's there, but for the sake of argument, let's just say that's what's there. We'll address this in a moment. So now let's come up here. I got to bring you up.
When you say this, you mean the goaltenders.
The goaltenders. Yeah. All right. Now this is where things get really wild. So... can we agree Chris Tierney is not going to be re-signed next year?
You're also missing Caulfield on this list.
I put him up here.
Where is he?
Where it threw him?
Oh, you put him on defense over here.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah. Okay.
You also put Slavkovsky up there.
All right. Solved. So, Chris Tierney, gone. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay. Jonathan Drouin, gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So let's clean this up, shall we? So Caulfield comes up here with Suzuki. Let's
Belzile back in Laval.
Bazile is also gone.
Well, not
even though you know he's been doing his part as well as he can be expected to do. I think probably even better than what was expected. But you know, let's be fair to reality here. It's likely he's not going to crack this team. Okay, we got to move Kirby Doc up to second line. I think Brendan Gallagher is by no means a second line winger anymore. We got Anderson there. Kurianov, let's put him up here. I'm just moving things around and we'll go through in a second.
Sure.
Oh man. Okay. Somehow no. Okay. Just for the sake of this. All right. So now we go through it. So your first line, Caulfield, Suzuki, Slafkovský. Yay or nay?
Sure.
We didn't really get the biggest sample size in the world of Slav, but he was starting to get
better. We're not including Pierre-Luc Dubois in this.
We're not getting there yet. All right, let's go under the assumption nothing happens. These are just the players they have. Okay, that's the fun part about this. They have more players than they know what to do with today. We're not even talking about players they might go and acquire. And that's where it's going to get interesting. Yep. So now, do they re-sign Gurianov? I think we all agree yes. I think we were saying between 2 years.
Yes.
Whatever, bridge deal. Okay. Does he? Yeah. Now, I got him on the second line. This makes sense to you? Second, third, he can probably bounce. Okay, I got him second for now. Doc, I think, is pretty much your 2C at this point. I don't think Monahan's coming back, right? I didn't bring him up here. So let's say no to that. Pauly B, I also think we've seen the last of him.
Well, so he's a UFA at the end of the season, so it doesn't matter. He's gone.
Exactly. Well, that's my point, right? They're not bringing him back. I don't think he's
playing. And they're definitely not going to want to put themselves in a position where they increase their LTIR pool. So
exactly. All right. So Gurianov is your second line left winger. You got Kirby Doc and the power horse Josh Anderson because he's still on the team, and that's where he deserves to be. Okay.
Assuming
he's still there prior to any trades. Are we cool with line two?
Yep.
Okay. The third and fourth line is some wild shit. Okay, here we go. Hoffman. Now, you could say, well, Matt, you should throw him away too like you did Joel Edmondson because, he could be moved, blah, blah, blah. I do not think you can do that realistically. I don't think there's a market for him. I think he's picking it up later in this season. It's been good. I do not see him being moved, barring holding money back. I'm not so confident they're going to move him before the start of next season. What do you guys think?
I don't think they're moving him before the start of the season at all. I think that, you know, maybe you hope for a deadline deal, but...
Exactly. Exactly.
Guys.
Okay, so Mike Hoffman.
Mike Hoffman, after this, he only has the 1 year. So he might actually be enticing for some teams because it's only 1 year. So I honestly think that Mike Hoffman will get moved this offseason.
Okay, but now it's a 2-1, so he stays. Okay. You've been heard.
Dude, Vito, what just out of curiosity, like what team's gonna want Mike Hoffman at $4.5 million, even if it's just for 1 year to start the season?
Like, Montreal could definitely move him, retaining even $1 million, and he might be worth it. Considering he's already been way more productive lately. And teams know what the type of role they'd have to put him as, just a power play guy, you know, a bit more of an offensive role. And the story with him, they know he's a specialist, so to speak. He's only got the 1 year. I mean, there was rumors of him being moved at the deadline because of that. And in the end, okay, it didn't happen, but there were rumors.
But a deadline deal is different than an offseason deal. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. What's more likely to occur? Joel Edmondson moving in the offseason prior to the puck drop of the first game? Or Hoffman?
Joel Edmondson, for sure.
Joel Edmondson.
We're already not slam dunk about that. We're kind of like making certain assumptions. So if he's less than that, he has to maintain and stay on this present roster that we're currently doing this iteration of it. So he is your third line left winger.
No choice.
He is. No choice. You still have Christian Dvorak on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's your 3C. He is. And now you can split hairs with me. Who's your third line right winger? I put Yolonen. Who would you like to see there?
I would stay with Yolonen as well.
I would stay with Yolonen, but they'd probably put Gallagher.
Who's they? The management?
The coach. Management.
The coach? Okay. But we're putting Yolonen. This is our team. This is our team. We put Yolonen. Okay. Now your fourth line. And this is crazy stuff, right?
Of your fourth line,
you have to make a fourth line with the following players: Jake Evans, Rem Pitlick, Harvey Pinard, Gallagher, Armia, Pezzetta.
God.
I mean, Sean Farrell, I think we're going to throw him out of here. I don't think so.
Guys, I'm willing to make – I'm going to make a bold prediction, a hot take. Sean Farrell starts next season. That's at Mike Hoffman's spot, and Mike Hoffman's on the team. I'm telling you.
It's possible.
I
mean, unlikely.
But you're going to go with likely? I would say it's possible, but – probably unlikely.
Especially if in the next seven or eight games that the Habs have, Sean Farrell proves that he can stay in the NHL and keep up, and he shows what he has to show, they're going
to retain. In fairness to anybody coming back to watch this episode, Sean Farrell is presently playing his first NHL game. We have no idea how that's currently going. I'm kind of glancing over from time to time, but we don't know. And so, yes, we'll review this in a little bit of time, but I think we got to keep Mike where he is, because we saw what happens when you put him on the fourth line. He basically disappears. It's actually comical. So what do you make as a fourth line? Is Harvey Pinard a fourth line left winger with what he's been doing?
Well, okay, listen. He's definitely found some chemistry with Nick Suzuki while Nick Suzuki's been on a tear himself.
So I should put him up here where Cole Caulfield is?
No, and that's what I was going to say. That's not going to happen. Right,
okay.
You're not going to take Cole Caulfield off, and so it's like, where do you place RHP at that point? You put him on the fourth line where he started when he got picked up, when he got called up, and bring some energy to that fourth line and get some minutes in, and try to provide some secondary scoring. That's all.
I mean, when it comes to centers, to just move it quickly, because these guys are all wingers. I mean, you got Pitlick or Evans. I think we're choosing Evans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay. What do you do with the enigma that is Joel Armia?
Buy him out.
Yep.
I think you have to, right?
It's no time choice. To buy him out.
I literally think you have to. I can't see where this guy has
so
a spot on his team.
I believe he, after this season, he's got 2 years left at 3.4. I think the Montreal Canadiens, if I'm not mistaken, this is a while ago, I looked at this. They get cap savings in the first 2 years, and then they're basically taking a hit for the following 2 years. They'd be extending their pain of Joel Armia for 4 years.
Okay. So somehow, buyout or by sheer absolute luck, they somehow move him. He's not playing. He's not on the team anymore. So that's one less potential. Pezzetta, who after performing the Tiger Williams Selly, which everybody's talking about and was fantastic, what do you do with him?
You're resigning him as an RFA, and he's gonna have the same role he has now. Comes in when he has to, and it's a fourth line role, and that's it.
You carry Pezzetta, Kovacevic, and Weidman just chilling, following the team around.
You have to have extras. Now, the only issue I have with your current situation is you have a roster size of 29 players.
Well, it's because of scratches. He didn't remove the players from the scratches.
Yeah.
You'd have to go delete contract or whatever.
I wonder if this works. There you go.
Yeah, it's at 24. So there's one person too much. You're sending Rem Pitlick to Laval you did this year.
Okay, so Rem the Gem is also gone.
And
so
there's your 23-man roster, barring any trades. Like, this is just us working with the Montreal Canadiens today.
With what they have now. Now, this is what we've made with essentially a healthy lineup of this year. This is kind of what we're looking at. Now, I come down to this. You're telling me nobody. I'm going to look at Laval. None of these guys are making the jump. None of them.
There's only one player out of everybody I see here. Well, you put Sean Farrell there, but Sean Farrell, I think, will stay with the Montreal Canadiens. It'd probably be who has a strong chance with the way he's playing is Emil Heinemann. He's just one of those two-way guys that coaches.
Okay. It didn't matter who you picked. It's a loaded question. Where the hell does he go? Where do you fit anybody?
Well, that's
it. So now that's it. We gotta make some moves, baby. People got to go. And this is where it's gonna get funky. People are like, you can't trade 3-4 players for Pierre-Luc Dubois or for this guy or that. You know what? You have to, because you got way too many people in the pipeline. You might have to overpay to bamboozle to get somebody in who's going to be really good for the team, and you're going to replace the guys that you offloaded with a lot of these other guys who are prepared to make the ascension, or at least, you know, start filling into the role. I mean, at some point, these guys have to come up. I mean, you're talking Heinemann. Yes, he's playing very well. You're telling me Sean Farrell is going to make the team. Okay, he took, let's say, Hoffman's spot. Fine. You got the Riley Kidneys of the world, the Meshacks, the Mishars. Your Hua is over here. Owen Beck is here. That's just the forwards. At some point, Mayu's coming. You got to figure if Norlander is not going to be the guy that we thought he might end up being.
Okay, but you know some of these players, maybe there's going to be movement for sure. The Montreal Canadiens, one has to make the moves because they're going to have too many players. And on top of that, you know, there's rumors that has been rumors already about goaltending. You know, are they going to go and, you know, acquire? You know, people are trying to link Askarov already and Carter Hart and all that. Those guys are going to cost something.
Well, so, okay, but the thing is it's not going to necessarily cost the spare pieces that are conveniently left over, right? You know what I mean? They're going to cost the top prospects, and that's what.
Of course, especially if somehow, some way, the Montreal Canadiens and the Nashville Predators, if the rumors are true that Montreal could be interested in Askarov, Askarov's not a goalie that's going to, you know, go for nothing. He's going to go for a top player or a top pick, something of value that's going to get people to be like, oh. Wow. Okay.
And which one of these guys is gone?
So this is what I
Gallagher or Montembeau.
This is what I like. I like Monty, and I like what he's been doing. And you know, we had the compilation out there where a lot of people are putting out the highlights. And you know, he's in his prime years as a goaltender and all that. But if the Montreal Canadiens are going to acquire an Askarov, a Wolf, any one of those types of prospect goaltenders that they feel are coming to play next year, you have to think that you're keeping Jake Allen as a veteran for that goalie. That's my thinking. And I think that's what the Montreal Canadiens management will probably go towards as well.
I think it's likely, but the thing is, I think they'll probably try to move Jake Allen. It's going to be hard to move Jake Allen. Who's going to take Jake Allen? You know what I mean? Like I guess as a backup, if you want, but he's going to be harder to move than you think. And
well, as of next year, $3.85 million is cap. Yeah, maybe it might be a little tougher.
It's going to be tough to move a guy like Jake Allen. So I think they're stuck with Jake Allen. And so the answer becomes, do you want Sam Montembeau to be there, or do you want to go get a prospect goalie? The another thing is that they're not going to come free. You know, and I know that they're looking at Kane Primo now. He's playing in this game against the Flyers. You know, you could debate all you want whether he's the answer or not, but it's going to be very hard to acquire a top prospect goaltender. It's not going to be given. And these guys, even if you want to throw your top prospects, like, why would somebody give that up? You know, why would Calgary give up Wolf just like that? You know, it's easy to look over and say, hey,
overpay. Yeah.
I've been saying this for a while. Okay. And whether people agree or not, but for those of you who right away would jump at me on this one, there's a bit of a shortage of elite goaltending in the NHL. It's not like it was a few years back where almost every team in the NHL had either an elite or a number one goalie, a bona fide number one goalie. If you go back into the mid-2010s, where you looked, or even, mid-2010, 2007 to about 2015-16, almost every team in the league had a number one goalie. Now, the difference is that some of them were a Lundqvist, a Carey Price, you know, a Pecorine. The others were kind of like Braden Holtby and all that. But today, if you go look down the goaltending in the NHL, you maybe could say that there's two guys that fall in two, three guys that fall in elite. And then it's like, okay, there's some good goalies, and it stops. Like, I think I did the count. There's maybe 10 goalies in the NHL that you say these are number ones.
Yeah, because look at that era that you just mentioned. Look at the goalies who won Stanley Cups, right? It's going to be Matt Murray's that won the Stanley Cup. It's going to be Antti Niemi won a Stanley Cup. It's going to be, Who else?
Yeah, but you can also see there's Corey Crawford and there's Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah,
and
not elite goaltenders. Maybe Fleury, you can argue is an elite goaltender. Corey Crawford was
I hear you, Jonathan Quick. But these are goalies. This is the point I'm getting at, right? These are still goalies that won. We're number one goalies, and if you put them in today's era, it would be, you'd look at them and say they are elite goaltenders practically, or they're at least in the conversation. Back then, you're saying they're not elite because you had Lundqvist, you had Pekka, you had Tuukka Rask, and it's like, yeah, look how long this is going. You're not as good as they are.
Well, one thing I can tell you right now, we are we are not solving the goalie debate today. I think that one almost needs a dedication of an entire episode because it is really a weird situation they're in. They're calling up Caden Primo right now just to see what they got with him because obviously they know what we all see too. Something's got to give. I don't know if they're comfortable enough with riding this tandem another year. I think if there's a play to be done here, if there's a move to be done, they're going to try to improve the goaltending situation with a top prospect, and they're going to pay a lot. And I think what we just illustrated from our, again, using Cap Friendly's armchair here, is showing we have a lot of people on this team. There are a lot of players and a lot of prospects that are down in the AHL that are really on the cusp of coming up, and it's going to be I think a likely exodus of a lot of different players before the team that gets iced at the beginning of next season really starts off. And you're going to look at this list when you come back. It's going to be a very different team that's on the ice.
We didn't even consider whoever they draft this year.
Well, and then there's that too, huh? Absolutely. So more to the point, the movement, the excitement, like you say, with all the exciting prospects that are out there, there's a lot that's going to happen. We looked at that team, and right now, I just finishing it off, when you see what we just had up there, how confident are you behind that team? Not to go far in Stanley Cup contend or anything, but are you at least, are you looking at this and saying, wow, this is a team that's finally starting to get on the right track? We're seeing a lot of budding stars here that are in the making and a lot of good stuff, where there is still a lot of room for improvement, like a lot.
If they don't get hurt and they stay healthy, they're definitely going to be better than what they've been these last 2 years. And if they can stay healthy, I still think that they might be a team that misses the playoffs, but they'll make it entertaining. They're gonna fight. Will they pass up some of the teams? I'm not too sure, because a lot of the teams that in the East are still ahead of them, but there are some teams that I think are going to take a step back. In Philly for sure is going to continue their step back. I think Pittsburgh and Washington are going to end up taking a step back as well. So when you look at that, there's still some very good teams ahead of them, and that's where it's going to be a little bit tough. But they're going to be a lot closer to that wild card spot than they are today.
I do agree that if they're healthy, that this team is going to be better for sure. But it's still not. There's still a lot of work to do, man. On this roster, yeah, you look at that team. There's a lot of hope and prayers of that these prospects hit. And there's a lot of even still talking to Juraj Slefkovský about Juraj Slefkovský and guys who Caden Gooley, he's progressing well and for sure, but you still have to see on a long term if these guys are going to be. We've seen NHLers have great 1-2, especially defensemen, take 1-2-3 years and then drop off. Like they have there. There's a lot of hope and prayer, which is a good thing, but there's a lot of it. Usually you have like a few of those, and it just seems like this entire roster, like Nick, you can even talk about like the best of the Canadians right now, which is Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. It's still arguably to the rest of the league who are not following this team, a question mark as a top tandem as in terms of forwards, as when you compare them with other players down the league. So there's a lot of like this going on, and I'm not saying that doesn't pan out, because they could develop amazingly and you have an amazing team and you look back and you're like, wow, what was I worried about? But there's also, it's just like, there's a lot of work to be done in the meantime to make sure that it's not just relying on hoping and dreaming that these guys hit.
I think you guys nailed it both. I think it's a really good prospect of what's to come. I think there's, at some point, you got to get behind them and you got to say, I'm for this. We don't need to go get more superstars. We might have superstars right here in the making. You got to give them a little bit of time and they're going to get there. And again, I come back to the same notion, just as a final thought here, to say that given what we see here, my favorite thing oftentimes when the product on the ice isn't giving me what I want in terms of wins, it's all of this movement, trades, acquisitions, and there's going to be a lot of it before the puck drops of the first game of next season. And I, for one, cannot wait. And I think on that note, gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up here. If you made it through this rather long edition of our Get Pucked podcast, thank you very much for sticking to the end. Again, check us out on Twitter. You can catch our link tree there. It'll show you all the different places that you can catch us and listen. We're throwing up a lot of shorts lately. They've been a lot of fun. I think they've been received very well. So keep an eye out for those. A couple more little sort of compilation videos we have in the works as well. So definitely also keep an eye out for that. And for Dave and Vito, I'm Matt, and this was
Get Pucked.